Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and blessed eternally. Four. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and blessed eternally. Most gracious and wonderful Father of heaven and earth, the God that called us, Father, before even a tree was planted, we're grateful, Father, to be able to come before you in your holy throne of mercy. Bowing our heads, Father, knowing that we certainly are sinners in your sight. Though because of your darling Son, Jesus Christ, Father, you have cleansed us and allowed us to be seen as Christ in us and have forgiven us our sins. For we do know that we sin and fall short of your glory each and every day, but we ask that you might continue to cleanse us, Father, through that blood of your darling Son, Jesus Christ, and allow us to have fellowship with you and walk in the light, Father, with you and fellowship with our brothers and sisters as well. As we come before you this morning, we ask that you might be with those that are sick and those that are recovering from illnesses. Be with the ones that are grieved and filled with bereavement as well. Be with those, Father, that are happy and filled with joy, for we know that Satan, Father, is a formidable adversary, and that he finds in and everything that he can, Father, to fire those darts at us and allow us to be sidetracked concerning you and your will for our lives. We ask as we come before you today to study your word, that your will, Father, will be first and foremost on our minds, and that our hearts and minds might be open, that we might receive that word and use it in our lives, Father, to continue to praise you and give you all the glory that you so deserve. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the church. These are all blessings we ask in his name. Amen. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to look at this week a lesson on fasting. How about that? Just a quick lesson on fasting. Start off August. And then the following weeks, we're going to look at a man by the name of Jacob. And after we look at Jacob for about 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to look at his sons. All right? Try to put all this stuff together. We've been studying Numbers, Judges. And we're going to try to put all that together so we can see exactly what it is God wants us to see when it comes to the New Testament being fulfilled. So next week we're going to look at, if it's God's will, Genesis. Just read Genesis chapter 25 through 31. Next week for lesson class, we're going to start with a lesson with the man by the name of Jacob. So we're going to start out in Genesis chapter 25 through 31. That'll be our reading assignment for next week. We're going to do about 4 or 5 lessons on Jacob, just to see who he is and how he fits into the scheme of God's plan for salvation. But today, we're going to look at what?
Fasting.
Hey, take a look at fasting. Who's got any idea about what that is?
See,
you heard about it, huh?
Yeah.
Letting that stuff go. Well, let's see what it is. Anybody else got any idea about what they think fasting might be?
Needs to concentrate on
Anybody else? B, you want to say anything about fasting?
Purifying of your soul.
All right. Sister Banks? What you say about fasting? Like Lent, huh? That's what most people think it's about. You got anything about to say about that? What you think?
Well, I know my nephew always fasting, but he fasts for like 5 or 10 days.
What do you eat when he fasting?
Nothing, but drink water and juice.
That's what he do, huh? All right, we're gonna talk about that. What you got, Brother Anderson, about fasting? Anything? I'm gonna stop doing this and fasting.
Right, right. No, I'm just trying to be the best that I can every day.
We're gonna do a little lesson this morning, Sister Reed, on fasting. All right. Talking about fasting. What do you got? What's your idea of fasting? Got any idea about what it is and how we do it? Jacob, we're going to talk about his sons after that, all right? But for next week, the lesson is Genesis 25 through 31. We're going to start right there with Jacob, Genesis 25 through 31 for next week. But this week, we're going to talk about a little bit about fasting. And what you think about fasting, Sister Jackson? Genesis 25 through 31. You're the only one left, that's why. Go ahead and write that down. I'll wait for you. Yeah, Genesis 25 through 31. You can write that down. That's for next week. Talking about old Jacob. 25 through 31. Yeah.
Fasting.
Don't go too fast. Now take your time. Let me ask y'all this one question before we start. You ever see any command in the scriptures to fast? Anybody ever ran across that?
That's a good question because that's where it came from.
Yeah, it is from the
Bible. Let's start then. Let's get some scriptures for it. Let's get some scriptures in here, all right? Let's start with the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse number 30 because there are a number of times that fasting is mentioned in the scriptures, so let's look at a few of them real fast. No pun intended. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 30. So Cornelius said, I'm waiting for your sister Bell. Acts 10:30.
Oh, okay.
You there? You ready?
Oh no, I'm not even there yet.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you. I'm good. I want everybody to see this. We got about a few scriptures. Matter of fact, Acts 10:30. Then we're gonna go to Acts 14:23 after that. All right. Acts 10:30. Acts 10:30. Then we're gonna go to Acts 14:23. After that. Verse 30. Got to get them out, huh?
Cornelius answered 4 days ago. I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 in the afternoon, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. I remember your gift to the poor.
All right, I see. Perfect. So, what this version says, Cornelius said 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. So, fasting is mentioned here in chapter 10 and verse number 30 regarding the house of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 14 and verse number 23, the Bible says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So at Acts 10:30 and Acts 14:23 mentions fasting as well. The next couple of verses will be 1 Corinthians 7:5 and 2 Corinthians 6:5. Good morning, y'all. We're talking about fasting this morning for this open up the month of August, this Sunday. And the next 4 or 5 Sundays, we're going to talk about a man by the name of Jacob. All right? And the lesson assignment for Jacob will be Genesis 25 through what did I see? 31? What did I see? Yep. 25 through 31 for next week will be our lesson text talking about the man by the name of Jacob next week. But this week we're talking about, yes, ma'am. Genesis chapter 25 through 31 for next week, talking about a man by the name of Jacob. Jacob. And then after we talk about Jacob for 4 or 5 weeks, if it's God's will, we're going to talk about them sons he had. How many sons he had? 12 of them. 12 of them. And this morning we're talking about fasting. Any idea about fasting? What you think about fasting? Y'all just came in. What you think about fasting, sister?
I've never done it. I've tried. Me and a couple of people try to do a little fasting. I never really understood it.
So why? Yeah, I was gonna say why are you trying? What? What you think about Glenn? You tried it with her?
No, I didn't try it with her, but I fasted from I got a sweet tooth, so I did that. I stopped spices and stuff like that for a period of time.
So you went on Lent?
I fasted from social media before. I did that for like a year before. For me, I don't know why I did the food. I think that was just a challenge. I know like social media, you can spend like a lot of time, hours and stuff like that, just scrolling aimlessly. So I cut that out just so that I can lock in on other things that were more important than the health.
What you got, Hall Fam? What you think about it?
I fasted before for prayer reasons. I think when it's a discipline to just kind of, you basically have to rely on that discipline to get you through, because you're not giving yourself, you know, the things that you normally have. And I think you do it for a while, you get clarity, you start, you know, focusing on more important things. Well, for me, that's how it was when I was having some health challenges, and that was my reason.
What about you, Brother Mark? Did you fast when that dog was chewing him wise?
You know, basically. But that's how initial, you know. Once I got past that point, I could pass churches up with no problem now.
Gotcha. You quitting?
Exactly.
All right. You had something else, Lazonda?
Well, I was going to say, from the spiritual standpoint, that's great that Brother Anderson has that discipline. That takes time, because discipline, you know, to stop doing things, whether it's harmful to your health, whether it's spending, not praying, those kind of things.
Church is chicken. So let's keep this in mind. Fasting. Fasting is a discipline of humility. That's what it is designed to do. It's for us to be humble before God. Fasting is a sign of humility. We've looked at two scriptures already where fasting is mentioned in the scriptures. We looked at Acts chapter 10 and verse number 30, where Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 5, and speaking about marriages, it says, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Then we have 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 5. Just a few places where it's mentioned that. With Paul speaking about all that he had gone through, and he says, in stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and in fastings. And then the last scripture that I have written down here is Mark chapter 9 and verse 29, and it's a scripture about having faith. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. That's when the disciples couldn't exercise the demon out. They couldn't get him out. So Jesus says this only comes through fasting and prayer. So fasting has a significant place in the New Testament. It really does. But what were some of the reasons that they were fasting? All right? And some of the reasons they fasted are some of those passages we just looked at. Most of the time you find that fasting is intertwined with prayer, fasting and prayer. Again, it's a sign of humility, all right? Sign of humility. Some of the reasons that found in the Bible for fasting, I looked up a few verses in the Old Testament. One was for sorrow and for confession in Numbers 29. One was for lamentation and grief, which was in 2 Samuel 1, Judges 20. Another reason for fasting was for earnestness of prayer requests, to truly pour your heart out to God at that time. And we usually see, again, this connection with fasting in the New Testament is connected with prayer. Because what fasting was thought to do, when you look at it in the context of the scripture, is thought to strengthen your prayer by demonstrating your need to call on God and be serious about it. Sometimes we pray, and our prayer is what? It's not really a serious prayer. Yeah, it's a superficial prayer. What fasting does is it gives us the idea that we're going to humble ourselves before God. Now, prayer is going to be strengthened because we have already made up in our minds that we are going to seek God's will for our lives, no matter what it is. That's not about, it could be just about just about anything, you know. If you're struggling and you're 500 pounds and you need to stop eating at churches, you know, you ask God, you seriously get on your knees and ask God to help you with that. God can do, without God, nothing is, you could do anything. With God, nothing is impossible. So fasting strengthens your prayer because it's a sign of humility that you're approaching God. And we should approach God in humility anyway, right? So sometimes the question is about what actually is fasting. What is eating? We talk about what do you eat and what do you not eat when you fast. From what I looked up in the note I had written down right here, the Greeks understood fasting, listen to me now, as total abstinence from food for a certain time. Total abstinence from food. That's how the Greeks looked at it. So apparently, it didn't include liquids because abstaining from the flesh, Clark said, was living on fish and vegetables. And if you're living on fish and vegetables, that's not a fast at all. So when we refer to the total abstinence from food, this is implication that we don't drink anything either, right? It's a total fasting. Fasting is just what it is, total abstinence. And we can really see that because the Bible talks about Jesus, and when Jesus fasted and went into the wilderness, when he came out of the wilderness, what does the Bible say about Jesus? He was what? No, not that, before that. He was tempted because of the situation he was in, and he was in a situation where he was hungry. So he was fasting, and fasting made him hungry, and it made him vulnerable, right? And only God could rescue him at that time, and God did. Fasting and prayer are locked hand in hand, but if fasting entailed eating fish and vegetables and other foods, why was Jesus hungry? He fasted and prayed. You know what I'm saying? Gave himself totally to God. Like Sister Lozana said, he dismissed himself, and he took hold of God only at that time. That was his position. It's a position of humility. It's a hard thing to give up self. That's one thing. Because flesh is always present in our lives. Flesh and blood will always be present, and we always want to feed that need. And our need is to eat. It's to eat. And we eat sometimes even when we are not hungry. We eat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I say, it could be exercise for anything. Because the bottom line is that you're pouring yourself out before God in humility. And every time I've looked at this, it goes along with prayer. All right? So I jotted these questions down in my mind so we can talk about this too. I jotted the word down, how, when, and why. Here's a question. Is fasting commanded? Remember I asked that earlier? Have we ever seen fasting commanded in the scriptures for anybody? I couldn't find it. I could not find it at all. Not one place where it was commanded to fast. All right? We're going to find out what they were saying that for. Yeah, we're going to find out what they were saying that for. In the Old Testament, however, it's noted that fasting was commanded in connection with the Day of Atonement. All right? But the New Testament don't have any requirements at all because we're not under the law any longer. But it was connected with the Day of Atonement way back when. But like I say, we've seen many examples. And Jesus spoke about what to do when fasting. He spoke in Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Let's go get that. He spoke about what to do when you're fasting. 6, 16 through 18. So what does it say there? 6:16 through 18. Read that for me, somebody.
To show others they are fasting truly, and I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be observed, obvious to others that you are fasting, but only your Father who is either all these people. Making a regular show out of their praying, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? But no, here, what I want you to do, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simple and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are praying prayer ignorant. They are full of...
We can start right here. We good. We good. The point I'm trying to make here is Jesus spoke about what to do when you're fasting. In Matthew 6, 16 through 18, what were the reason the Pharisees were fasting? What was the reason? They had a reason for it. They were fasting for the glory of men, so people can see them. Somebody walk up in here this morning and we say, oh, we talking about a class of fast. Guess what, guys? I'm getting ready to start fasting. So I gotta, you know, turn my face a certain way. I gotta do a certain thing. So y'all can see me fasting. That's more for the glory of men. Fasting, according to the scriptures, what Jesus said was for dedication to the Lord. Again, you come into God in all humility, asking God to help you. And fasting is in conjunction with prayer. Jesus, he tell you what not to do. Don't do it so men can see you. Right? Luke 18:12. See what it says there. You can start right there. Now, what was this situation? This is the tax collector and the Pharisee, right? Praying before God. Says, you know, I'm not a sinner like this guy over here, because this is what I do all the time. I fast twice a week. I can't be like him, right? But what was his reason for fasting twice a week? He wasn't dedicated to God at all. As a matter of fact, when you look at that particular scripture, it's a scripture about how to be humble before God, not like this. The Pharisee was more like the tax collector who humbled himself before God. That's what it's about. So, like Brother Anderson said, if it's 30 days or if it's 14 or whatever, twice a week, that doesn't matter. I never saw a duration of the course of it, but the Pharisee was using fasting and tithing as a way to show what? Self-righteousness. Yeah, it was all about him. Lord, look, I'm a better man than this guy. So he stood before God without any humility, projecting his self-righteousness before God. That's a dangerous thing right there, don't you think? Let me just tell you what I do, God, for you. So you can sign off on what I do, and I'm going to be all right with that. I'm going to be good. Twice a week, I'm fasting. You got to give me credit for that, right? Self-righteousness. So you can fast for different reasons. Not necessarily to dedicate yourself to the Lord, which is what it ought to be, in conjunction with your prayer, pouring your heart out to God. But you can also fast before men so they can see you and recognize you, and you getting the glory and not God at all. Yes, ma'am.
That being self-righteous and that are, you know, telling the flock wrong, and these people are following, yes, they're going to get judged because they should know for themselves. But God's going to judge the leaders differently because you know that you're, you know, leading these people astray.
In the ditch.
So there's people that do it, I won't say the congregation's name, but I mean, they do it as a whole, and they come to work and they're telling everybody, no, I don't want the donuts in the break room. We're doing X, Y, and Z, you know. So they have a lot of people that misread into this.
And see, it's easy to fall into that trap because people don't separate dieting from fasting. One is spiritual and one is physical. Fasting involves humility before God, and that's a good segue from Sister Hall because it's something for each person to do individually between God and himself. That's what it's saying. It's keep it between you and God. You don't do it out there so everybody else can see you and give you the glory for fasting, and like the fasting, you're wrinkling your face up and you're doing all this stuff so people can. No.
Or somebody telling you, because it has to be a decision for you. First, it has to be a person.
Right, between you and God. It's not something for the knowledge of others so that you can get the glory for yourself. It's not about that. So it's up to each one of us, it's up to each person to use discretion as to when to fast and how long you're going to fast. Me, probably be a minute. I'll get it in. It'd be real fast, but it'd be fast. We get it in. But like we said earlier, we use fasting to refocus ourselves and refocus our minds because we're so busy with other things. We use fasting coupled along with prayer to refocus our minds and our hearts upon the spiritual things and on meditation with God. And there's nothing, boy, I'm going to tell you right now, it's nothing better than being by yourself talking to God, just pouring your heart out to God. It does something for you. It energizes you. It gives you a different perspective. It refocuses your life. It doesn't matter how long you do it or for what purpose you do it, it's connecting you with God at that time. It's a refocus, and we all need to be refocused. Am I right? We do. We need to be refocused, but we need to understand at the same time what fasting is not. It's not for the glorification of men. It's your dedication to God. That's what it's about. And each person, each and every one of us got to use our own discretion if we're going to do it at all. And if we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, or how long we're going to do it. It's about practicing self-control. That's what it's about. It can be used to practice self-control and keep ourselves from the dependence, like everybody said, dependence on physical things. We give up the physical things and reestablish ourselves that we only dependent upon God. That's the next note I wrote down there. We're so dependent upon the physical things that surround us. And God gave us those things to enjoy. Don't get me wrong, he did. But we depend upon those things more so than we depend upon God. Let me give you an example. Most people will not take the stairs. Now, some people do. We jump on the elevator all the time, right?
Yeah.
Don't know nothing about it. How it's made, if it's going to go up or go down, if it's going to crash, none of that stuff. But if you looked at how the elevator is made and what it's made of and where the landing is and how far it has to go down, if it passes that landing, you might not get on one. But we depend on that elevator all the time. It takes us to every floor except 13. Isn't that crazy? We do. And we depend on stuff like that more than we depend upon God. So we have to refocus ourselves, refocus our hearts and our minds, and not allow our prayers to be superficial, but allow our prayer to God to be something that we can sit and talk to God and have an earnest conversation about ourselves. Pour ourselves out to God. Empty ourselves out to God that God might fill us up so we can be for him what he's called us to be. We have to be dependent upon God only. Fasting and prayer is an earnest appeal to God. Look at Cornelius. Cornelius was not even a Christian. He was a Gentile, wasn't he? You know what the Bible says when Cornelius said that he's been praying to God? The Bible says That prayer went up as a what? Who can tell me? What did it go up as? As a memorial to God. He remembers. Man, let me tell you something. When you tilt your hat to God, God remembers that. Doesn't he? I mean, let's think about the simple things. When somebody tips their hat to you or give you a wink or something like that, we remember that. Yeah. And what do we say? Oh, they were so nice to us, but they might have had a different motive. Yeah. Right? But we remember that. I would that everybody in this whole world would tip their hats to God. But what happens is that people usually tip their hats to God 2 or 3 times a year. Easter, they tip their hat to him. Christmas, tip their hat. Right? What other time they tip their hat to God? When you think they get blessings from God. But Satan gives you things too. He was offering all of them to Jesus. Right? But Jesus had just got through doing what? Fasting and praying. The Bible says the Holy Spirit did what? Just took over. And we can reconnect with God in that way and keep our connection viable. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives with fasting and prayer to God. Whatever it is that you might need from God, fall prostrate before him. Ask him. Stop allowing your prayer to be superficial. We got to be able to talk to God like we talk to anybody else we need to have a talk with and have an earnest desire for prayer. So, I believe sometimes in my own mind, I wrote this note down too, that fasting could be treated like prayer positions. Some people pray prostrate before God. They lay right down and prostrate before God. Some people pray on their knees before God. What difference does it make? It's an individual decision, right? Some people pray standing and some people pray sitting down. You know, I had a man one time told me, it might have been 20 years ago. He says, you can't pray while you're driving. What's the matter with you? Well, I guess he's talking about that new law that came out this month, August the 1st, where you can't drive holding your phone in your hand, right? Y'all know that, right? That's a new law, right? Yeah, so don't let them stop you for that, right? You know, sometimes we see people praying to God and we see people repenting before God and they're seriously repenting. And the Bible says repenting in sackcloth and ashes. That's not reporting. Some people report to God what it is they've done and they're not sorry for it at all. They're just saying, let me just acknowledge it and that's it. I'm not sorry for it. You know, when you actually seriously tie yourself to God and the Holy Spirit's working in your life, if you feel the need to fast before God in any position that you pray, that's a wonderful thing because God will acknowledge that, right? It has to be an appropriate appeal to God. And that's all fasting is. It's an appropriate appeal to God, right? I mean, if you want to be forgiven from sin, ask God to forgive you from your sin, but you don't have to fast for that because you already knew what you done did. And fasting ain't going to take the sin away from you. Asking for repentance from God will wash that sin away. God will take it right away through the blood of his son. And we have to be aware of that because so many things in our lives are just superficial. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, prayer is one of them. We take it for granted. Sometimes it's just too superficial. So if you want to fast, go on and do that. It's between you and God. It's a humility. It's a sign of humility between you and God. You're prostrating yourself before God, pouring your heart out to God about your need for one thing, deliverance from sin and salvation.
Not about no one else, it's always about God. You know,
Agreed. The appropriateness of fasting is something that needs to be considered. A lot of people don't know why. They say they didn't know about it at all. Hopefully this discussion can help you understand fasting a whole lot better. It's not nothing that's ooh or mysterious or anything like that. No. What it is just another way to approach God. That's what it is. And we approach God so that God can get the glory, not for self-grandizing. Not for us, not so other people can see we fasting, you know? Because we can sit and we can talk about it all day long. Oh, you know what, Brother Cook, me and you going to go on the fast next week. And we're going to let everybody in the congregation know, and everybody going to be like, oh, how that fast going, brother? How that ain't what that's about.
Very good.
Under the bus. She just saying that because she got to feed you, bro. That's all that is. That's what that is.
She won't give me that money.
So let's look at it for what it is. Let's not read into something that's not there. Let's know that it is just another way to approach God and show humility in our lives as God teaches us, as he delivers us from sin and evil in our lives, and as he delivers us from ourselves. There will never be a time in your life where you're going to fast to God if you're self-righteous. You're just not. You're going to be just like the Pharisee in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You're telling God what you're doing. Oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Oh, God, this is all me right here. Validate me. Allow me to know and allow the whole world to know that I am a Christian because I'm fasting before you. Nothing to do with all that. It's foolishness, right? So let's not take something that God has given us as a blessing and turn it into a curse or some sort of trivial matter. It's not trivial at all. It's a serious thing. If you want to do it, dedicate yourself to God and do it. If you don't want to do it, that's fine, because some people pray without fasting and some people pray with fasting. It's an individual thing. And keep in mind, it's between you and God. You and God. Right? Like Brother Mark, I thank God I can pass that church's chicken myself. Pass it on by. But I stop at somewhere else, though. Go ahead, bro.
Knowing that Jesus fasted in the wilderness, when we went to the wilderness, I consider that a fast. But for us as a person, does it have a timeline on fasting for individual? Because, you know, sometimes...
I never saw a time in the scripture. But is that fasting, is it a spiritual thing or is it a physical thing? See, again, there you go. And we got to learn to separate that because, you know, dieting is one thing. And humility before God while fasting is something different. One is spiritual, one is physical, you know. And that's a wonderful thing. I think everybody ought to do that. Whether it's 4 hours or 4 minutes. Like I said, I'm going to be the 4 minute man. You know what I mean? But I'm going to get it in there. All right, what do you think about fasting now before we close the class out? Somebody tell me what you think now since we didn't went over this right here.
I think it's mainly for devoting that time mainly to God. Through everything that you go through, what you're tempted for, all that, devoting that present time, or how long, to mainly to God. And do it, and you know, just like you say, without telling another. Do it for yourself and do it for God.
And ain't no falling off the wagon with this like a diet. You can't fall off the wagon. It's between you and God. You decide how long you're going to do it and when you're going to stop. It's on you.
And I see that. I mean, but, you know, we're always sinning and falling short of God's will, you know. And our walk is not always constant. So I see that what I've learned is that when you walk is seeming to go a little bit to the left, I guess you could say, you know, off the path. Maybe fasting is a way to get back on, you know, that path by reminding ourselves of who God is to us and what he did and does for us. And you know, and I think that in certain circumstances as well. think that fasting may keep us on the course, you know.
Help us to refocus.
To refocus, to stay on the course, yeah.
That's what we need. We need to do that. It's like quitting smoking and taking the ones out your closet, right?
Yeah. So I kept the apps on my phone and I tested myself to see, are you going to click this Instagram? Are you going to click this Facebook and stuff like that? And so after my fast is over and you stop paying attention, you got people calling your phone like, hey, man, you saw so? It's like, I ain't see it because I'm not on social media. So after I came out of it, it was like my next step was I didn't care about all that stuff anymore. I didn't care about what this person, with this, especially like the famous person in their lives. And I didn't care about it anymore. So people came to talk to me. It was like, man, you saw so-and-so or whatever. I was like, I don't care.
That's not me any longer.
Yeah, that's not me anymore. I was there before, and I'm not there anymore. And it still sticks with me to this day. Like, I could log in and just scroll and see, oh, so-and-so, all right, whatever, and just keep on.
Keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know the thing I realized about this lesson with fasting? And with anything that we do as it pertains to God in our lives, one-on-one with God, it's about a relationship with Him. That's what it's about. Because when you person-to-person with God, your relationship with God is something that should be between you and God, you and God only. I mean, we have intercessory prayer for one another. We do. That's wonderful. That's perfect. And we can sit and we confess our faults one to another. The Bible tells us to do that. And when it comes to you refocusing on God, nobody can do that for you except you. You have to have that focus on God yourself, because there's a lot of things out here in this world that can take us off that beaten path. So if you have to fast to refocus, do that. If you don't want to fast, then don't do that. There's no commandment in the scripture for fasting at all. And I hope this lesson today helped us to understand a little bit more about what it is and what it isn't. Right? Anybody else got anything need to be cleared up? That's that nurse coming out right there. Appreciate your nurse. That's that nurse thing there.
And another thing, people think that because it's for God, that no matter what you do,
correct,
or whatever,
yeah,
you're going to come out of it, you're going to be all right. But that's not.
They fully believe, and I don't disrespect them in
right.
that manner. But since
yeah.
we're talking about it in an open forum, you know, this is the place to clarify and say, hey, if you have some medical things, this is not commanded. So
yeah, don't. Don't drive your A1C to 11.5. Anybody else before we lock this thing out? I know our song leader ready. I see him back there. Ready. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us, that we can come and look into your word. We ask that you might open up our hearts and our minds, Father, that we might understand your will for our lives and indeed adopt those things that we might walk circumspectly in your will, that people might see you in us, Father, and not us getting all the glory, but that we glorify you in all things in our lives, and that you open up our hearts and our minds, Father, to understand that we need not have superficial prayer to you, Father, but our hearts and our minds should be poured out to you each and every day, every waking moment of our lives, and we should dedicate ourselves and be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you might approve what your good and perfect will is for us. We thank you for the Christ. We thank you for his example. We thank you for your word, Father. And we thank you for all those that are gathered this morning as we studied your word. We ask that you might continue to keep us, Father. We ask that you might come quickly. We look forward to seeing your face. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.